Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knock On Nation podcast show.
Heyo, it's another episode of the Knock Home Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's Josh Rhubarb Brown.
Yes!
Hey, Josh. How you doing, Josh? How you doing? Josh, how you doing, Josh? Hey, Josh, how you doing? And that's JT Holton. JT, how you doing, buddy?
See, okay, all right, for one thing, why did he get the full Michael Buffer intro?
Okay.
And then I just get,
I'm sorry.
Right.
And yeah, also, you definitely got shafted on that.
I need a cool nickname. Yeah. I don't have a rhubarb to go with.
Okay.
I need something
let me
to,
try again.
You know.
Let me try. Here we go. And that's JT Timberlake Holton.
Thank you. That's better. I like that.
Is that better? Okay.
I like that. That was good. That was
you
much
have
better.
To just, you know. I just need a little, ow, rock your body to the break of dawn.
You know you're not.
I can't get that? Oh, wow. Come on, JT. No. You're so stiff.
Sorry, I was a Joey Fatone guy. I mean, Timberlake's okay, but.
Joey Fat One?
For my money.
Joey Fat One?
Yeah, Joey the Fat One is the way to go, man.
Yeah.
What?
No, Timberlake's the best by far.
Joey Fatone hangs out with the Impractical Jokers. Joey Fatone is the best.
Yeah, Justin Timberlake by,
please
by
stop.
Far. Yeah, much better.
Timberlake's a sellout. Fatone is all about it.
Oh, I figured Josh.
He's all
the
meat, about
Josh
what?
Is the meat and potatoes of about the boy band lifestyle.
Josh is probably Joshua. About to tell us that we're both wrong and Nick Lachey is the way to go. Like, that's what I'm waiting on. Did you guys know that Backstreet Boys were, like, doing a concert video via Twitter last week or something because of COVID-19?
What? I missed this?
Yeah, they were supposed to do a tour, and then they were
gonna have to catch up on this
doing
one.
A video. Like, aren't they 50-something now? I mean, just being honest, like,
yeah,
it's kind of weird.
It should be Backstreet Men by this point.
That's true.
Be honest.
Now, did you guys ever have trouble as teenagers confusing Backstreet Boys and Blackstreet?
No.
You didn't? I did.
No.
I totally did.
No, they sound alike.
Blackstreet. What is Blackstreet?
No diggity.
I like to bag it up. Ooh, I like the way you work it. No diggity. I like to bag it up.
Are you kidding? Little Penny was in the music video? A little Dr. Dre verse in there.
Josh is so white. It's not even funny. He's so white.
Can you guys name, how many Backstreet Boys and NSYNC guys can you guys name?
Joey Fatone.
This is NSYNC.
Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
Lance Bass.
Right.
You're already doing better than me.
Nick Lachey.
Nope. That was 98 degrees. Yep.
Oh, okay.
Close with the last name, though. It's a close last name to Lachey.
LeBlanc.
Or was he J.C. Chazet, I believe? Was he?
I don't know him.
Yeah. And then
I don't know.
Chris Kirkpatrick being the fifth
That's,
one. Yeah.
It's a little scary that you know this, JT. Yeah. I got to be honest.
It is, JT. I didn't know that you had this thing about the Backstreet Boys.
See, Backstreet Boys, there was Nick, Brian, Kevin. Oh, geez.
You know the next thing JT's going to do, right? He's about to break out and tell us the names of all the NKOTB.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, you kidding me? Jordan Knight.
Here we go.
Joey McIntyre. Donnie Wahlberg. Oh crap.
Kenny.
Donnie, Jordan.
Get us back on the rails, man. This is
Joey.
Sad. This is worse than any political rambling
shoot.
I've ever done on the podcast.
This is going to drive me nuts.
So...
I can't believe I'm
did anyone
here.
Else
I can't
like
believe this.
I remember how shocked I was, and I found out early on, so don't get me wrong, this isn't like a recent discovery, but and a lot of people are still surprised to recognize this, that Marky Mark and Mark Wahlberg are the same person. And that he became an actor, and that he would be much better at acting than being shirtless and rapping was a shock to a lot of people. I remember one of the first movies I saw of him. Good God, what was that movie? It was bad. Oh, man. It was weird. Gosh, now I'm going to be like sitting here having to look it up.
Ted.
No, Ted? No. It was way before Ted. He was in, I think like Boogie Nights was his breakout as like actual legitimate actor. But yeah, if I remember right, let me see how far back I can go. Let's see, was it
Fear?
I feel bad for our podcast listeners during this.
AJ McClain was in the Backstreet Boys, and Howie and AJ. That's the other two Backstreet Boys.
Oh my God.
Oh, and Jordan Knight's brother Jonathan, and there was a Danny. There was a Donnie and a Danny in New Kids. So
Howie.
There you go. Howie. Wow. Howie Duroux.
I totally can't remember what movie I'm thinking of.
What are your thoughts on Howie Mandel?
I like Howie Mandel. I was a big fan of Bobby's World.
I liked Bobby's World.
Day, and
that's about the extent of my...
I like Howie Mandel, too.
He's not a very good comedian, if we're being honest.
No, not at all. Yeah. Not at all. No. About 10 years ago, there's a show on, like, PBS where the premise was, like, college kids would get in an RV and travel the country. It was almost like a road trip show.
Okay. Kind of like Road Rules or whatever.
And they... Kind of, but, like, not silly. Yeah, okay. It was, like, genuine. It was like, let's go on a road trip with five strangers and do cool stuff. And they went and visited Howie Mandel.
Oh, wow.
And they hung out with Howie Mandel, and they were asking him advice on life and stuff. And one of his things that he kept saying was, just say yes. Like when someone gives you a trip to this thing or this opportunity, or just say yes. Just say yes to all this stuff. Just say. And I was like, that's cool, because I always like make excuses sometimes. I'm like, I can't, I don't feel good. I'm, you know, I don't really, it's too far. And then I was like, I'm just going to start saying yes. And so, like, you know, Joe Schmo will be like, hey, Josh, do you want to go to the Boone Saloon? I'm like, yeah, sure. Do you want to go to, you know, a concert? I'm like, yeah, that's fine.
Do you want to smoke crack cocaine? Michael Lane.
Do you want to go to a Danville Braves game? I'm like, it's like 3 hours away. It's kind of far, but yeah, I'll go. I just do things. Because of Howie Mandel.
Oh.
You know that just say yes could be terrible, terrible advice, too, if you're hanging out with the wrong people.
Yeah, that's not what he meant. That's not what he meant.
Did you ever see Yes Man, the movie? Just say yes on opportunities. It's actually one of the few movies that has, what's his name in it? Yes Man.
Jim Carrey
that I actually like. I'm not a big Jim Carrey fan, but a lot of people like always swore that Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, and Mask, and all those movies were really good. I never really got into them. I mean, I would laugh. Don't get me wrong. Like, I would laugh, but I didn't think they were good movies.
I did like Man on the Moon.
Oh, that's a good movie. That's a different story.
About the making of that movie.
Oh, the documentary was insane.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh, my God.
No, I didn't see that.
Dude. Well, Jim Carrey is like a method actor, dude.
He becomes Andy Kaufman.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, he's a complete
becomes
a
total dick. Yeah.
Andy Kaufman was such a cool dude in this weird way. Like, he was like the Barry Bonds of comedy. You know, like, you guys were talking about hated. Like, people hated Andy Kaufman because he was so unpredictable. Yeah. Just saying.
Unpredictable.
Simply unpredictable. Oh, that's the wrong words. So Josh, no. Father's Day's coming up this week. Did your wife get you anything?
Yeah.
Already?
No, but she got her a bunch of shit. Let me tell you what she got her. She got... So last weekend, I go to Georgia to get away from the mask ceremony that she had that I ended up being right about.
It's like... So the COVID mask is like Jim Carrey's movie, The Mask, except less funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sorry. Anyway.
Okay. Okay, so we we go to Georgia. We get back from Georgia last Sunday night. Me and Brinley get in, you know, about 9:30, and Nikki goes. I walk in the house, and Nikki goes, "Happy Father's Day!" and she's like smiling, and I was like, what are you talking about? Like, next Sunday's Father's Day. She's like, well, look what I did. And so like I walk into the dining room, and she has put the shelf in the dining room, and on the shelf I see like a flower plant.
Uh oh.
And
more
like,
flower plants. Uh-oh.
And hang on, and like, and some books, and like a couple of dishes. And she's like, I did this for you for Father's Day. I was like, that's cool. And so, and she got me a couple of Jamie Oliver cookbooks, because I like Jamie Oliver. And then
now is this?
And then
is
Monday
Jamie
night,
Oliver,
and then Monday
who
night,
is Jamie Oliver.
So he was the guy. He was the Naked Chef back when we were all in high school, but like in 99, 2000. He had the show on Food Network before he was like before Gordon Ramsay and all anybody. He had a show called The Naked Chef. It was like right when Food Network starts.
Yeah, I remember that. Jamie Oliver.
He was like
in
his early 20s.
Wasn't Jamie Oliver also like a bad comedian that made that white rapper movie?
I don't know.
What was that dude?
That's Jamie Kennedy.
I don't know.
Jamie Kennedy.
Okay.
My bad.
Yeah.
My bad.
So she gets me the stuff, and then and it was really cool. And then like and then Monday night she uses the Jamie Oliver cookbook to make something delicious. And then she did the same thing Tuesday night. So she bought me stuff for her for
Wait,
Father's
but she's Day. Cooking you
so
food,
she could
right?
use it to cook. But she's cooking me
so
food.
Why
she's
are you complaining?
Food. Yes. I'm not complaining. I'm just pointing out some things. I'm just saying.
She bought a bunch of shit for
you're
herself.
Hearing, you're twisting my words
I think
right
that's
now,
what
Kenny.
Your words
You're twisting my words. All I'm saying is, for Mother's Day next year, I'm gonna get her. I don't know, a new Ruger, maybe a Smith & Wesson that I've got my eye on.
So, Josh, if she bought herself lingerie, which women never do, but let's just say she did, would that be buying you a Father's Day present, or would it be buying her a Father's Day present?
That would be, to me, that would be buying her a Father's Day present, because I don't really give a shit about lingerie, as do most women, most men. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't usually wear it, so.
That's true. I don't wear it either. I think.
I said usually. I mean, sometimes.
I will say this. I do think men enjoy the idea of lingerie.
The idea of it. Okay.
Like
okay.
A woman.
Until they see the price tag on
that's
it.
That's true, too.
Like, oh, well, never mind.
That's true, too.
Never mind.
But the idea that your woman dressed up in lingerie, and then, like, as soon as you actually see her in it, like, the only thing you can think is, like, how quick can I get her out of it? But, like, the idea that she dressed up for you ahead of time is rather enticing to men. You know? It's like a woman wearing a thong to work. You're like, you know, that's probably uncomfortable, and it's probably not the most efficient clothes wear. But, you know, she did it theoretically for you. And you're like, you know, that's kind of interesting. I wouldn't know anything about that, to be 100% honest. I'm just totally ballparking this here. I'm just saying, you know. anyway. Ladies, men enjoy the thoughts
so she
of
got,
things more than the actual thing sometimes, just to be honest.
But she got me some cool lingerie.
Okay.
So
it's cooking lingerie. Is that what?
Yeah.
Okay. Wait, your wife bought you lingerie? Wait, is this two different stories? I'm a little confused
all of a sudden. No, it's not. I was just joking. She bought – Nikki got some cool cookbooks for Father's Day, for me and for her.
Gotcha.
And
I haven't gotten a Father's Day gift in, like, ever, I don't think.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever
gotten
one. I might have. My wife might have got me some.
No,
but it's not, like, a frequent
way.
Thing. I don't get many gifts around here usually. I give the gifts most of the time. I don't need a gift. It's all right. I'm probably fixing to get yelled at because she's probably hearing me, and I probably forgot her giving me something. But I'm just saying, I don't really remember getting much.
How are you so selfless? I don't understand it. That's weird.
Yeah,
because I'm like, it's Father's Day, bitches. Worship me. Give me everything. I deserve everything. You assholes.
I guess I just know me. I don't deserve anything. So, yeah.
I'm going camping. Also,
where are you going camping?
Cause that's
here in Georgia, or
Watauga
okay.
Lake.
So that's up near you, right?
Yeah.
I assumed it was.
It's beautiful lake.
All right.
Is it supposed to be cold or hot?
Right now, it's supposed to be probably like... So, Watauga Lake is a... So, we are at about 3,500 feet. And so, we are about... We're cooler than Watauga Lake. So, when I get down off the mountain where we live, it'll probably be probably like 80.
Okay.
Low 60s, probably.
Okay. So, basically our weather.
I guess.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you going with friends? Or are you just tent pupping? Or are you
solo? I'm solo, bringing my tent, just me and a cigar.
I guess that's a Father's Day present. I don't know.
Oh, that's definitely a Father's Day present. Yeah. That's heaven. No cell phone reception. My handheld Garmin or Grundig radio, a cigar or two, a cooler of beer, my Coleman camp stove.
What about you, JT? What's Father's Day heaven for you?
I might never come back.
I got a let's see, I got a couple things. I got a Garden and Gun magazine makes a Southern trivia game. So it's like Trivial Pursuit, but it's Southern movies, music, culture, you know, trivia stuff. Which would be fun. We'll take that to the beach, and there's supposed to be questions that are like conversation starters and stuff. So we'll see how that goes. Because I'm a big
you had an anniversary
nerd.
This week too, right? Like you and your wife.
Yeah.
Congratulations, by the way, on like surviving a year and her not killing you.
Yeah, went out to a nice Italian place and had a nice nice dinner. Which was cool.
Was there any gangsters there? Because it's not real Italian. If
there was
not.
It was just me. I like to pretend like I was Don Corleone. Okay. It was cool.
Yeah, you told us last week that it was Joe Pesci. So I'm never sure which version of gangster I'm going to get out of you.
I do. I enjoy both. Probably my favorite gangster movie is Goodfellas. So from top to bottom, the most watchable.
Okay. See, I'm weird. I love Casino. It's just my thing. I like all of them.
Casino's good too. I've got them both, man. They're definitely in the Blu-ray collection. Mm. Both of them and The Godfather too. Can't go wrong. I got that. I got a one of those silicone ice cube makers for your whiskey.
Ooh, nice.
So it makes the big old round ice cube.
I got one of those. Nice.
And I got a game used Tampa Bay Lightning hockey puck in a cool little thing to go on my mantle there.
JT got pucked.
Pretty neat.
Nice.
I got a puck. She said, go puck yourself. Just give it to me. So it's neat. And then we're taking off to Destin Sunday morning to go down there for a couple days and probably do some deep sea fishing.
Nice.
And hang out on the beach there and do redneck stuff on the Redneck Riviera.
Are the kids going with you or?
Yeah, kids are going with me. They're up in North Carolina right now with my dad.
Oh, that's even more.
They're
awesome.
At the Outer Banks. Yeah, so they go from beach to beach to beach during the summer. It's incredible. So they're living the life.
Yeah, I wish I was living that life instead of
No kidding. They're going on four different beach trips this summer because they've got four sets of grandparents, and so they get to do whatever the grandparents do. So everybody takes a vacation, the grandkids get to go, and it's not fair.
I get it. That being said, if they're gone, you're not having to watch them. So there's a little fairness to it, just to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I miss them, but at the same point, it's like peaceful, quiet. But you know what? That's about to change.
Reminder to all our listeners, a shout out to your dads this week. While they will not act like it, they do appreciate you saying thank
and
you.
And Braves bloggers better show me some love.
Yes, if you would like to send Josh his Father's Day gifts, you can do so to P.O. Box 565, Livonia, Georgia, 30553. We'll be sure Josh gets his Father's Day gifts from bloggers and podcast listeners and other podcasters. Just saying.
Thanks, you guys. Thank you, my children. So, by the way, starting on June 20th, the Boone Town Council just passed I don't even know if it's a law. I don't know. You have to wear a mask in all public places in
Boone.
Are you
going to get arrested, Josh?
Starting June 20th. I'm probably going to get arrested, yeah. I hate this place now. I hate it.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I would get arrested too, probably. I'm going to leave that alone. Did you guys get to watch any, or did you even care any about the MLB draft going on this last week? We talked about it just briefly on me and JT did. But all in all, did you even keep up with it?
I did the tracker on my phone, but I didn't watch it because it's not a great made-for-television product because you don't know who any of the guys are. You have no idea.
And then there's no fans at all. Like, they don't even try to have fans. At least, like, Roger Goodell, like, faked having fans.
Right. Well, at least in the NFL draft, you've got some name recognition mm-hmm. with some of the guys being drafted. Where when your team drafts, and you go, oh my gosh, yes, I was hoping they'd get that guy. Or you go, oh my God, no, I hate that guy. I think he sucks. You have an opinion right away, so it brings you in. With baseball, you're like, I don't know, probably won't see this guy play for like 4 years, and I've never heard of him before, and don't know if he's good or not. And even baseball scouts will tell you, like, it's like throwing darts.
You bring up an interesting point, JT, and I'm curious to see what you guys think. With the MLB trying to shrink the draft and move to only 5 rounds, and I think this is indicative of what they want to do in the future, even if they expand it a little bit, I don't think they're going to make it a lot bigger than this in the future. Is MLB wanting to make it so that college once again becomes a feeder system rather than an outlier? And what I mean by that is, like, college right now, a very small percentage of college athletes go on to be top-tier prospects in baseball. You know what I mean? Like, football, the entire pool of football is from college. Whereas in baseball, it's, I would guess, way less than 50% of the pool, you know, between foreign signings of kids from foreign locations and then also, like, high school signings that bypass college. But with the shrinking of the draft, this was the thing we saw. We saw tons of college players taken in the first round. There was very few high school players taken. One, because there's a lot of risk in high school players. And two, I think because you could sign college players a little cheaper. Either way, do you guys think that maybe this is MLB trying to, like, reinvent the minor leagues, for lack of a better term, and use college as a free version of the minors, maybe?
That's a good can of worms to open up, man.
I think it could be.
If I ran the show, that's what I would do. But yeah.
I mean, it's basically adding way more than the teams you got rid of by shrinking the minors with the plan that they're wanting to do. And you're filtering all those players into systems you don't have to pay for, right? I mean, colleges are paying for this. So kids get hurt, it's their problem. If they still get educations, they don't have to pay them to play baseball for them.
Well, it depends on what school they go to, Kenny. If they go to Auburn or Florida,
they
know what I mean?
They know how to put on shorts. Just playing. I mean, come on. And they can make that's license true. Plates. They're at least qualified for that. But yeah, I mean, to me, it's the one thing football does. Imagine if football had a minor league system, right? And players could go straight from high school into the minor leagues and then to the pros. The problem is you'd have to pay so many people to make those minor league systems happen, right? Like, it would be a real problem. Even basketball doesn't really do that. Like, they're trying to kind of build this little third-party thing with the D-League and the developmental stuff, but still, for the most part, they use college as their feeder system to the NBA. But baseball doesn't really do that, not nearly to the leveraged ability that football and basketball does. So I wonder if that's what baseball is looking at. Like, why are we paying all this money to have a minor league system when baseball programs are as advanced and as developed as our minor league systems are? I mean, let's be honest. Like, baseball coaching now is at such a high level thanks to programs like Driveline and different ones that have resources and can get Rapsodo data from, like, pitch release stuff and all this kind of thing. You can let a college foot the bill for all that. You don't have to pay for it. And the player not only ends up getting to you past injuries and past, you know, but being further developed And also, he's gotten a little bit of an education along the way, and he's developed some of the character traits that you want so that he's not this hyper overpaid 18-year-old that goes and gets in trouble in a minor league system.
And also, college baseball has a television contract that comes along with it. That's true. So these guys are getting exposure. They're getting on television. They're getting name recognition. So when it comes time for them to get drafted, not only is the draft a bigger event, but now the franchises have a guy that's already built in with some name recognition. I mean, what if you take the guy that led his team to the College World Series with the number one overall pick? You know, hey, that's got a lot more cachet to it than, you know, just some random high schooler from, you know, Belgrade High School down in South Florida that no one's ever heard of.
What were you going to say, Josh?
And you're doing something that college baseball fans, of which there are like 11 of them, have wanted for years. You're making it cool. You're making college baseball cool.
Make it so good players don't skip college. You know, where, and I'm not saying I still think it's okay to have an avenue for really great players to skip, but there's a lot of good
like
high school players.
Like he didn't need Young Harris, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of good high school players that get drafted that really probably should have gone on to play college ball and develop a lot more, and they probably get even better development than they get being on some little developmental league in the middle of nowhere in Virginia on a Braves A-minus ball team. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, think of it this way. Would the Danville Braves provide better training for players, or would the University of South Carolina or Georgia? Well, the University of South Carolina and Georgia have far more budget to develop those players than the Braves do that they're giving to Danville. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just, they're not doing it. So
they got to get rid of the metal bats, and I'm fully behind this.
I kind of agree. Yeah, I think the metal bats are weird. I get it.
You do get into a legal realm where you say, look, I mean, football doesn't really deal with it because there is no other option. Mm-hmm. I mean, you graduate high school. You don't have another place where you can go and make money. But you're seeing this in basketball now where guys are saying, hey, I don't want to go to college. NBA's making me go for at least a year. I'm going to go to Europe and play for a year and get paid. And then I'll be in the draft next year. And legally, I mean, I don't think you can say, well, no, you cannot go get paid. You have to go to college. What if I don't want to?
Yeah, yeah.
What if I don't want to go to college? What if I want to go get paid for a little bit and go play even in the independent league? You know? I want to go get, hey, I can sit out for a year or two, make, you know, a couple $1,000s. Because, look, when you're 18, any money is good money. I mean, if you're getting paid $50,000 a year, hey, 18 years old, that's 50 grand. That's
right,
awesome.
Right.
But you know, I mean, can you legally do that? And that seems to be kind of the issue. I mean, because you're seeing that happen now. I think it's one of the Ball, you know, that Lonzo Ball guy, the LeVar Ball, whatever. One of his kids is might be the number one pick in the draft this year, and I think he's playing somewhere overseas. Yeah. He's playing in like France or somewhere like that. Which in basketball is good because that's good competition. I mean, you know,
but see,
over
baseball
there in Europe,
owners figured out that this is coming. See, this is what I'm talking about when I say that their strategy in negotiating with players is never just about being greedy. It's bigger strategy than that. They already have it set up so that you can't go play in KBO, Korean Baseball League, or Japan, and then come immediately back to America. It doesn't work that way. You have to be posted by the club that you go and play for, and then teams have to work out negotiations with the club, and then you have to play for a certain number of years sometimes. Like, so they've already figured out how to basically shut down the avenue that you're talking about, JT, you know, with this international baseball stuff. And the other part of it is I don't think baseball wants to do away with all of the minors. They're always going to want to be able to develop players and get them ready for the pros. And they may even have some high school players that they want to, like, fast track. But I think if they could get rid of 50%, maybe even 60% of the minors and push that back to college, talk about, for one, how much better of a sport would college baseball be due to the influx of really good players in it? You know what I mean?
Well, what about just restricting the draft and lowering the amount of rounds that forces guys to go to college? Because then your option is you can sign as an unsigned free agent. Well, what if the Braves only decide they want to sign, you know,
five.
12 free agents after the draft? Yeah. Right. So they drafted five guys. They signed 12. They've got 17 new guys. Well, all those other guys that would have gone into some place in the minor leagues, now they're forced to, okay, well, I guess I got to take that offer and go to college somewhere. You know, it kind of forces their hand to go somewhere, and that essentially shuts down all these other minor league teams because they don't have players.
Do you know how much better, though, college baseball would be if they did that? I mean, it would be so much better.
And it would improve across the board where you'd see a lot more parity because these guys that would be going to, let's say, a Georgia, a Florida, a South Carolina, these top-tier programs, well, they don't have the scholarships available because their rosters are full. So those guys that otherwise in another year would be going, now they've got to go to a Mercer, a Georgia Southern, a place like, you know, a smaller school like that. So I think it puts more talent elsewhere.
I think it even helps.
Because guys can only take so many players.
I think it even helps, like, especially helps small schools like Tusculum University or, you know, little schools that Rice College, you know, like Rice is known to have a really great baseball program. If you could filter down the depth of talent, then you could see players from, you know, we talk about this with the NFL draft, players from little small schools that stand out because they played, yes, they might have played against inferior talent, but their talent makes them stand out. You know, we talked about this. What was the guy from, was it Alcorn State, JT, that we were talking about, the kid that was so good back during the NFL draft? I don't remember. He was super fast. Mm-hmm. But we were talking about some kid that really stood out against Division II talent, you know, and I think it was the Patriots had taken him, if I remember right, in like the second round or something. It was just...
Lenore Ryan.
Yeah, that's it. And just talking about, you know, these little small schools. And you know what kind of infusion that, you know, we talk about doing away with the minors would hurt these small towns where little small minor league baseball teams are. But could you imagine the influx of attention at small colleges if you've got a player that's MLB bound? You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh yeah, it was a big deal. I remember a couple of years ago here at Mercer, which is not a big school. I mean, they got a pretty decent baseball program, but a couple of years ago they had, I want to say his name was Kyle Davis, maybe, taken in the top 10 drafted by the Mariners. I'm not sure where his career took from them, but it was a big draw to go out to the Mercer game where you could get in for $5 and see this kid who was like, man, this right fielder stud home run hitter, like no doubt first round pick in the MLB draft. It was cool to be able to watch him for just a couple bucks, knowing that, you know, he's going to be playing in the pros pretty soon.
Yeah.
I think there's also like a misconception about like minor league teams, and if they go away, they're going to kill these small towns. I have been to minor league games all over the country, from Florida, from the Bradenton Pirates to the Eugene Emeralds in Oregon, okay? And I love minor league baseball, but let me tell you something. I'm in the minority. They're not well attended. They're just not. Danville Braves, love them. Love it. So much fun. But it's me and 11 other guys, basically, and it's across the board. Rome Braves. I poo-poo on the Rome Braves for years because there's a lot of reasons. They put it in a bad location. Just because the Ledbetters own that land and it's just a shitty location. But they don't draw anybody, dude. When we were there, me and Blake Silvers covering that 2016 team when they had the dynasty, you know, and they won it all. Dude, the playoffs, it was barren. It was barren. The only time they've ever drawn a crowd was when Tebow comes to town. Tebow comes down.
Everybody's or if Chipper Jones does rehab, so, or if somebody that's an actual name shows up for like a rehab
game.
Yeah,
that's true.
You know?
Yeah. But I think there are some places it's a little different, right? Like the Toledo, Ohio has a super strong minor league team.
The Mud Hens, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Chattanooga Lookout's pretty decent. It's right downtown.
Awesome but logo.
Greenville Drive has kind of developed that way a little bit now since Boston took them over.
They got the mini Fenway Park. Yeah. But a lot of – I don't know. I hear that tossed out too freely as if, like, all these small towns are, you know, their lifeline are these minor league teams. That's just not the case. Right. It's
really
not true.
No, it's not. And, you know, I remember growing up, we had the Macon Braves in town, and it was cool because you could see future Braves, and that was the big draw was, like – and sometimes you get guys on rehab starts, and, oh, John Smoltz is recovering from Tommy John. He's pitching tonight. Yeah. Like, of course, the place be packed. But, I mean, honestly, if you're in Macon, Georgia, and you want to see the minor league team as the single-A affiliate for the Rockies, well, what's the draw? What's right. the who cares? You know what I mean? Like, it's not a big – right now we have an independent league, the Macon Bacon, which is an A-plus name. But, I mean, what's the draw of going to see it? You're not going to see Stars of the Future, so you don't really care,
what if,
to be
what
honest
if
with you.
What if every college
I mean?
Added – I don't know. Say you added 200 drafted high school players back into college, right? The filter down from that, that's the equivalent of, like, 25 baseball teams, right? It, just in players.
Right.
So the filter down mm-hmm. of that would be substantial. Could you imagine if college baseball, it'll never have the following of college football, don't get me wrong, but could you imagine if there were, I don't know, 20 schools in America that had the following that LSU baseball had?
Sure.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
You know, it'd be fantastic.
Oh, I mean, look, there's places like that in college baseball, like Mississippi State, LSU, Texas. I mean, they have schools
yeah.
that, like, baseball is a big draw. It's fun. Yeah, Vandy. I mean, they're rolling right now. And it is, like, a live game is super fun. Like, the crowd is into it. It's a packed house. The students are all about mm-hmm. it. College baseball can be a really fun game. The problem college baseball has, it's hard to keep track of who the new players yep. are. You know, because you don't have this recruiting, it's hard to
also,
keep up.
Also, they don't
with those
put names on the jerseys, which is really stupid a lot of times. I mean, to be honest, yeah. I can't stand that yeah, about so a college game. I have no idea who anybody is, and they don't put names on the jerseys. I'm like, you put names on your football
right,
player
right.
jerseys, put names on your baseball player jerseys, so I actually know who somebody is playing the game. I don't know them by number.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. sorry, that's pet peeve.
No, but you're totally right. I mean, that's the problem that college baseball has. In and of itself, it's a really fun game. The College World Series is awesome, especially when your team
yeah.
is in it. It's a super awesome thing to watch. Problem is, from a marketing standpoint, college football, for all the rights and wrongs of it, they do a great job of marketing their players. Now, it may not be fair that these guys haven't been getting paid for
yeah.
that. I mean, that's a
yeah.
whole nother argument. But when you pick up the program for your college football team, you know the names of the people that are on the front mm-hmm. of that program. You only have to look. You know who those guys are. When you were buying the college football video game, you knew who that player was supposed to
yeah.
be. You know, yeah. like, so it's
you know what, Mike?
That's a problem with baseball
you know,
in general.
You know, this
it's
is another big bite of a topic to kind of bring into this, but I think it would make a big difference. If baseball continues to pursue this avenue where they're pushing more players to college, I wonder if the Power Five breaks off the way things look like they could, JT, and ends up separating from traditional NCAA football, okay? You know, Power Five going to have their own conference sort of thing, and these, you know, 50 teams are going to all be kind of their own division of sorts. If you did that, and then imagine that lens of baseball, so that these 50, 60 teams are the ones that compete against each other. Well, now you've narrowed the number of players I have to know down to a much more reasonable spectrum. The problem with college baseball I have is there's like 100 teams that are relevant, mm-hmm. and some of them are really small. You know, like, I don't know Rice's team. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I don't
sure.
know these little small schools. So when they end up in the college playoffs, I'm like, who? You know, like, I don't know any of these people. But
yeah.
but if it were Georgia versus, say, Ohio State, you know, and you get and you're pumping real name athletes into that, is the mainstream world going to buy into it? Probably not. I'm not saying it's ever going to be NCAA basketball, you know, but I do think there's a lot of room for growth and a lot of people to buy into it.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought up basketball because I kind of see a comparison there. Because usually with college basketball, unless you're a fan of a basketball school and you follow college basketball recruiting, for the most part, when you're starting out a season and you're Duke, for instance, you've got a lot of freshmen on mm-hmm. the team and they're good players because, you know, it's Duke, but it takes a little bit for them to become household
yeah.
names. You know, every now and then you get a Zion Williamson who everybody knew because he was the top dog in high school and he was like the next LeBron, and you knew he was going to be a big deal. But usually it's not until you get national exposure with conference tournaments and March Madness, and that's when guys make names for themselves. And that's when you're like, okay, now I know who this guy is. If you don't know him in October, you're going to know him by February.
What's the guy that plays for the Memphis Grizzlies that's so good, JT? Oh, my gosh.
The point guard? Jay Morant?
Yes. Ja Morant, however you say his name.
Ja or Jay, I'd never heard of him until the NCAA
tournament, and then he exploded onto the scene in the NCAA tournament, and I was like, holy crap, this kid's good, and now he's like one of the best players of the NBA. I mean, he may end up being the best player in the NBA before it's all said and done.
Don't be dismissive of the Murray State Racers now. Yeah. Come on, we know how good the Murray State Racers are. The pride and joy of Murray, Kentucky. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, that's a guy who then used that, you know, to make a name for himself. Because, look, the middle of November, nobody's watching Murray State basketball.
Right,
but you see guys like that, like Steph Curry, you know, played at Davidson. Nobody's watching Davidson basketball. Yeah. But then they make a run to the Elite Eight or Sweet 16 or whatever it was, and everybody knows about Steph Curry now. So maybe in college baseball you have that opportunity where, you know, in February you may not know who these guys are, but the bigger – that the College World Series gets and the way it's structured is so cool with the regionals and super regionals and all that.
If they marketed that
opportunity
better
for guys to make names for themselves,
I think their structure become household names. Structure's a little weird. Like, I get what you're saying about it being really cool, and I don't disagree on that side of things, but it does feel spread out a lot, so it's hard to keep up with. It feels like there's five different tournaments, and I never know when they actually happen and who's
it
playing.
Is, and
you know,
it is
weird.
You know, if a game's at 2 o'clock on a Thursday, it may be hard to keep up with because, you know, You got a job, you got work, you know. It's easy on March Madness on a, you know, you're paying attention to the tournament, whether you're at work or not. You're buying into it, and then you got Saturday and Sunday, and everybody's got CBS. They know where to find it. College baseball might be a little bit harder because the TV schedule is a little wonky, and most of these guys don't have – like, if you like Duke basketball, you can find just about every Duke game on TV. If you like Arkansas baseball or you know, Rice baseball – those guys aren't on your TV. You know, they don't have these TV contracts where you're going to be able to get every game, you know. Even Georgia baseball. You can't find most Georgia baseball games on TV. The SEC Network picks up one or two on the weekends, and that's about it. So
Yeah, 100%. And, Josh, I'm with you on the bats. The aluminum bats is the only thing that gets weird. I'm with you. Baseball at any sort of high level should not be played with aluminum bats. I don't care who you are.
And it can make for a long ass game too with the aluminum bats.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, hasn't college looked
really
at this multiple times?
Why is that?
Well, they get more hits and more runs, and takes longer to get teams.
That was an honest question. I'm just saying,
you'll sometimes see like these 12-10 games, and it's like, damn, that was
really
like, close to four. Because you see more offense with the aluminum bat. They've tempered that down with the kind of bats you can use. They tried to regulate that a little bit more.
The whole argument
and you
is
will see, guys,
that they can't afford broken bats, right? In that the argument.
That's crap. There's,
that's what I thought, yeah.
Maybe
that's
at some
total
schools.
Bullshit.
But you're telling me in the SEC argument. Athletic budget that they can't afford bats?
That's my
fault, too.
Come on.
It may
come
not
on.
Be fair across the board, but in major conferences.
Yeah.
If
Auburn
can afford
to pay Cam Newton, they can afford some damn bats.
There you go. Exactly.
I mean, let's be honest. All these programs that we're talking about, for the most part, don't have any problem bringing in plenty of athletic budget from the football side of things to cover the baseball side of things. Now, smaller schools, sure, but big schools, no problem. So anyway, hey, guys, can you believe that this week we had three different episodes where we actually talked about baseball in a significant way?
It's fascinating. We've come a long ways on our podcast. I feel like we're – do you guys feel like we're finding our stride?
Well, I mean, I'm kind of fat, so my stride is more of like a subtle limp. But maybe, you know, it's like I'm kind of wobbling, hobbling, limping. But, you know.
It's a wide gait.
I look like a baby giraffe trying to bend down and eat grass when I'm in my full lope. Or maybe a llama. Have you ever seen a llama run? If you've never seen a llama run, you should look it up, because all four legs operate completely independent of each other. It's the most hilarious thing you've ever seen in your life. We had a llama when I was a kid, and they
what?
Yeah.
How did you get a? Where'd you get a llama?
My mother bought a llama one time at a horse sale, and my dad liked to kill her, like on the spot. Like I think that's the maddest my dad's ever been at my mom, and because I don't ever remember him being mad at our mom, but I think he was mad at her about that. So
went to a horse sale and came home with a llama.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Yep. Yep. That's
what's the benefit of having a llama? What does it do?
Well, pretty much nothing. You could ride this one a little bit. Kids could. And you're supposed to be able to, like, shear them.
If you were living in the Andes and needed to, you know, to traverse some, you know, 4-inch wide trails on the side of a cliff.
And you're like a 4-foot tall Peruvian.
Kenny the Sherpa.
Yeah, you're like a 4-foot tall Peruvian, you know, that weighs all of 90 pounds soaking wet. Yeah.
Yeah. Then you get a llama. But, yeah, if you live in Livonia, then I don't know. You probably don't need a llama.
Josh, if you don't take a llama camping with you, I'll be very disappointed. It just needs to be you and your llama in the woods.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, you know, that's a lot like listening to the Knock On Nation podcast show. You come here expecting a horse sale, and you go home with a llama. That's Knock On Nation in a nutshell.
Sorry, folks.
Thanks for hanging out again. If you would like to get your own llama and support the show, you can do so at patreon.com/knockonnation, where you can get a shirt, you can get a sticker, you can get a shout-out on the podcast. Or if you would like just some sweet swag, we have these awesome t-shirts right now that more of you people should be buying.
Stop holding out, you assholes.
Some of you been holding out.
You know what? Listen. Yeah, listen. NPR does these little spring drives and they guilt you. They guilt you into shit, okay? And NPR sucks. If they can guilt you into giving to their socialist bullshit, then I'm going to guilt you assholes into not giving to Knock On Nation. Listen, we are trying to make a podcast here, trying to give you quality content each week, and many of you are not stepping it up, okay? You know who you are. I'm not going to name names, but you need to put your money where your mouth is and support maybe the greatest the only right-wing sports podcast probably ever, you know? We might not, you know what? I'm pulling a Glenn Beck. They might cancel us. They might cancel us. They might, you know, they don't want us. They don't want us to be together.
They're trying to.
They
divide
don't want us,
yes.
to be. They're trying to divide us. Okay, and so don't let that happen. How do you not let that happen? You support the show with your money, and you let your voice be heard because we are your voice. And so don't let them cancel us because they don't want us, guys. They could take us off, the Apple. Like next week because of some, you know, JT's Keep America Great cap. You know what I mean? Like it could happen, guys. We're getting there. And so support us. You'll feel good about it. It's only like $5, okay? So stop being a pussy and give us
some
money.
And if you want some cool shirts, we've got some really cool shirts. shop.spreadshirt.com/knockonnation. We've got the Knockahoma trolling shirt. I can't believe more of you have not bought the Knockahoma trolling shirt because you know you're all a bunch of trolls. That's why you listen to us. You like trolling. Get your Knockahoma trolling shirt, or the Knockahoma butchery shirt, or the Knockahoma pointer shirt, or the Knockahoma diving shirt, or like 100 other shirts that we have for sale on there. shop.spreadshirt.com. You can get all kinds of cool stuff. Hey, it's Father's Day. Buy your father a Knockahoma Nation shirt. Dads, if your wife will not buy you a shirt, this is a great time to buy yourself a shirt and say, thank you, honey, for getting me a Knockahoma Nation shirt for Father's Day. And there you go. It beats her buying herself some cookbooks. Right, Josh? That's going to do it for today's show. Thanks for hanging out. JT, Josh, I love you, fellas. Thanks for hanging out with me for a few hours and recording a fun show. We'll see you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement-level podcast. Knockahoma Nation is brought to you by Knockahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/knockahomanation. For new episodes and content, visit knockahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Auctions Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.